Now, as we prepare to hear God's word, let's pray together our prayer for illumination. God of Epiphany, we long to hear your holy word in fresh ways. Open our ears to the call of your voice. Open our eyes to the dawning of a new day. Fill us with anticipation for your future. Amen.
The scripture reading for today is from the Gospel of John, the first chapter, the 43rd through the 51st verse. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Bob. This call story is perhaps a little bit unfamiliar to you. The one we normally hear is the one that comes from Mark's gospel, or Matthew's gospel, or Luke's gospel, where Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee and he sees fishermen out in their boats. First, Simon and his brother Andrew, and then James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And he calls to them, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fish for people," or fishers of men, right? So that's the one that we are familiar with. But this story from John, and actually the one that precedes it, tells about this call of Simon and his brother Andrew as well. But the language is a little bit different, and I want you to hear that word that comes up again and again and again. The word is found. Found. Andrew and Simon in John's gospel are disciples of John the Baptist. And when John says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," Andrew and his friend go to Jesus and ask Jesus, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus says, "Come and see." Again, that's a refrain that we're going to hear over and over again. And Andrew goes and finds his brother, Simon, and says to him, "We have found the Messiah." And then Simon comes to Jesus, and Jesus says to him, "I name you Peter." It all happens pretty quickly, these things that get drawn out a little bit in the other Gospels. But then Jesus finds Philip, and Philip goes and finds Nathanael. I want you to notice that word "found" over and over and over again, because so often we hear, don't we, in evangelistic terms, "Have you found Jesus? Have you found Jesus?" In our bulletin cover today, we had a little bit of fun. We can move on to the next frame there. It's like Jesus peeking out from behind a corner. "Did you find me yet?" Or that Far Side cartoon that I alluded to last week or the week before, where the people are coming to the door asking, have you found Jesus? And Jesus is in the background hiding behind a curtain. It's like Jesus hides from us, and we have to go out and find him. But what I want us to think about today in finding Jesus is not so much the work that we do in finding Jesus as the work that Jesus does in seeking and saving those who are, quote, unquote, lost. And we have this beautiful image for Philip and Nathanael, right? I love this story about Philip and Nathanael. They're obviously friends, practicing good, what we call friendship evangelism, right? It says Philip is from Bethsaida, and Philip was found by Jesus, and he says to Philip, follow me. Now, Philip is different from the rest of the disciples, actually. Even though he's from Bethsaida, Philip is a Greek name. And it's different than all the others. All the other names of the disciples are Hebrew, but Philip's name is Greek, which means, perhaps, that Philip is either a Gentile or a convert to Judaism from being Greek in name. So he's already a little bit different. We also find out about him later on that he's like got some like administrative or management duties, because some of the Greeks come to Philip and ask him for an appointment with Jesus. So Philip is like, you know, the secretary here also. But he goes and he finds, after having been found by Jesus, he goes and finds his friend Nathanael. And he says to him, we found the Messiah. We found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael's response is one that we're going to rest on for a few minutes here. He says, Nazareth. Can anything good come from there? Nathanael, in his disdain for Nazareth, brings into view for us our own prejudices that we have about people, about places, that may actually keep us from fully experiencing all that God has to offer us. Now, what's Nathanael's problem with Nazareth? Well, Nazareth is considered the backwoods, right? It's this kind of remote place, and the idea is that the people there, well, they're just not very cultured, or they're not very smart, or perhaps they have different political influences, Nazareth is the place where a lot of like revolutionaries or kind of seedy characters come from. And so Nathanael looks at this guy from Nazareth and says, Nazareth? Can anything good possibly come from there? I want you to think this morning, what's your Nazareth? What is the place or person or thing that you look at with disgust and say, what good could possibly come from there? Could range through a lot of different things, right? As a Cowboys fan, I might say, the Giants, what good could possibly come out of there? Or the Yankees? Disgusting. Or I might look at someone's political affiliation and say, wow, they voted for Trump, or wow, they voted for Biden. What good could possibly come out of that? Or, wow, they're Catholic, or they're from the Christian Reformed Church. What good could possibly come out of that? As a public school person, wow, they go to Christian school, or they teach at Christian school. What good could possibly come out of there? Or, Patterson? He's from Patterson? What good could possibly come from that? We have all of these preconceived notions about other people, and just the spoken word causes this ire to raise up in us. And in our divided society, we entrench ourselves in these things. And just imagine if Nathanael had simply cast away Jesus because he's from Nazareth. How might his life be different? And now, think about the prejudices and grudges that you hold, that I hold. What is God doing in our midst that we miss out on because we're unwilling to even contemplate that something good could happen in that place with that group of people? It could be someone's racial or ethnic identity. It could be someone's sexual orientation. It could be their political affiliation. It could be their occupation. It could be where they're from, where they live, the wrong side of the tracks. How might God be trying to use the people that we cast aside? Maybe we're the ones that are lost, that need to be found. But Nathanael, to his credit, trusts his friend Philip enough that when Philip says, come and see, he does. And when Jesus sees Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. And Nathanael asked him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. To which he replies, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. I've got a confession to make today. I'm totally perplexed by what of Jesus' words to Nathanael causes him to be able to make such a great statement. He goes from, yuck, Nazareth, what good could possibly come from there, to, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Just like that. Why? Well, I'm not really sure what it means, but Jesus knows what it means, and Nathanael knows what it means. There is something. There is something that Jesus sees, and when Jesus speaks into him and says, long before Philip ever told you about me, I saw you. You are seen, Nathanael. How do I know you? I know you. I see you and I know you. And being seen and being known is enough for this faith response to come bubbling out of Nathanael. You are the Son of God. the King of Israel. In our Tuesday Psalms this week, we talked about Psalm 139, which is this great psalm of David about how he was knit together in his mother's womb by God, and before he even thinks and before he even speaks, God knows what he's thinking and God knows what he's saying. Why? Because God knows him better than he knows himself. God knows us. God sees us. Whatever your situation today is, the pain that you're experiencing, the anxiety that you're experiencing over what's happening in the world, what's happening in your own life, the grief that you're experiencing, Jesus sees you. And God knows you. And God loves you. So whatever it is, hide as we might. David says, "Where can I go to hide from your spirit?" The truth is, there is no hiding from the Jesus who finds us. We make a mistake when we talk about how all of our lives we seek and we seek and we seek until we finally find. But Jesus is the finding Jesus. He is the one who seeks us, the one who sees us, the one who knows us, the one who loves us. Jesus says to Nathanael, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." He says, "You think that was good? You ain't seen nothing yet." And Nathanael and Philip and Andrew and Simon and the other disciples are taken on a journey. They are taken on a journey that changes their lives forever, and not just their lives, but turns the entire world upside down. All because guys like Nathanael were willing to leave their prejudices and their preconceived notions behind to come and see what Jesus is up to. So how do we live our lives differently today then as a result of what we have seen and what we have heard? Do you believe that Jesus sees you today? Do you believe that Jesus knows you better than you know yourself? If so, might you have a word to speak to a friend who is in need? A neighbor or a loved one that is in pain, that is not feeling seen today? Jesus seeks us out and finds us. And when we respond in faith and come and see what Jesus is doing, our come and see becomes go and tell. And we go and tell what Jesus has done for us. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for this lesson from your word and for the truth that you see us that you know us, that you love us. Lord, continue to walk with us in this life. Continue to call us into lives of faithfulness, where we bear witness to the testimony of who you are in our lives, that before we even knew who you were, you saw us and you loved us. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith in the words from God's Word in Paul's Epistle to the Romans? We believe there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to God's purpose. We are convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.